So yeah, we're in the gifts series, and once the teaching and the ministry here finishes, it's where it actually starts. Some of you have been operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and you know it because you sense the power of God come upon you to love others, to bring a word of life to them, to pray for them. Then there are others that, like, you're using the gifts, but you don't even know it. You haven't identified, oh my gosh, that's God. God working through me, and it's not complicated. The things that I will bring to you today about the revelation gifts, gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits, you might think that's complicated, that's too much for me. But the Holy Spirit will reveal himself to you through his word and by his Holy Spirit. So they're the gifts that we're looking at today. So I just wrote, these gifts are to be used to bless and not to be misused. It's not about us being so, it's not about the person on the platform. Because at the end of the service, we're going to be activated to either receive from these gifts or be a conduit of the gifts. And we can take those gifts out to the highways and byways of life. Most of the power that runs through me is out there. When we leave this place and we've been engaged with God together and the unity of faith that's in the room, we'll burst out these doors and be a blessing to the world so that they would know that Jesus Christ is alive. Amen. So we study them. I've been studying for a whole month because I'm like, God, I actually don't get it fully, and I won't. I've still got my learner's plates on, but God chooses to use vessels that are weak, amen, and to confound the wise, and God knows what he's doing. So we need to step in and step out in those gifts, and basically they start with a chat with somebody. Being, you know, the introverts amongst us, believe it or not, I'm an introvert. What are you laughing at, Jed? I just love my own time, shut the door, love you all, bye-bye, see you later. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon me or when I'm out there and about, it's like you are a different woman. Because when we covet the gifts and we love like Jesus loves, we can't stay silent. And let me prophesy, there is a spirit of intimidation that is trying to shut the church down. There is a spiritual battle over your witness of Jesus Christ. He is the devil, is trying to shut you down and shut you up. And you don't think you're qualified enough. Well, if you're saved for 5 seconds, you are qualified to preach Jesus, to live Jesus, to walk Jesus, to talk Jesus, to sing Jesus, to dance Jesus, to paint Jesus. Come on, yeah, give him praise. These people, this is not the time to be quiet. This is not the time to not speak up about what the Word of God says. And I am so blessed that I'm a chaplain in a high school because I love you. And Brendan and I have been serving the church across the world for over 30 years. 25 nations, 19 world trips, bringing the gospel to children, to youth, to adults. But being in a place of oppression where there's a pushback, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's, I remember one of my girls saying, "You're a Christian, aren't you, Chappie?" I'm like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, I am." And the whole room was filled with a bunch of girls. And she said, "Yeah, but you hate gay people, don't you?" Set up. And I'm like, "Yeah, give it to me." I said, "Absolutely not. I love gay people. And so does Jesus. Doesn't always like what people do or how they live their life. And if you've got a moment, come into my office and I'll explain it." And some of them do. God loves us, but he hates sin. And there are no degrees of sin. If you're offending God by not believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're a sinner. And he wants to save you by grace. But it's going to take your faith to say, what this woman is saying, because I know I'm going on, but I'm about to read the Bible. Because this is the truth. He is the way. He will be found in his word. And we need to bring the truth to people so that they start to question. I remember also we did Valentine's Day. Do you know Valentine was martyred on Valentine's Day for his Christian witness? So I put it up in my room as a poster. And one of the girls like, what are you talking about, Chappie? I said, yes, Valentine isn't about the... Although, yeah, there are stories. We love each other every day. But this man died on this day. And she's like, no. And I said, yep. Do you want to know anything more about God and what, you know, Christians believe? And she said, tell me about Christmas. I said, well, let me tell you about Christmas. So I did. And then she said, well, what's that Easter thing about the bunny and the whole bit? And I told her about Easter. Jesus died for you. She's like, it's a smoke screen. She came to church the next week. She gave her heart to Jesus in my office. And I danced my socks off with her at the formal this couple of weeks ago. So we can witness and be relevant and not crazy. We are peculiar. Let's put up the screen so I get through what I need to. Every believer has the Holy Spirit living in our hearts, and he transforms us to be more like Jesus. You don't have to go, I need to be more like Jesus. You can't make it happen. When you spend time in the Word of God with Jesus, because he is the Word, you come out with your time with Jesus more like him, less selfish, less self-promotional, if that's such a thing. Number two, he comes upon us through the baptism of the Holy Spirit for the sake of others. There's a baptism in water as a public display of your belief in Jesus and being washed by the blood. And then there's a coming upon and the Holy Spirit when he comes to live in you when you give your life to Christ. He fills you up, and then every morning you can say, Holy Spirit, come upon me again. Holy Spirit, fill me up. I need to overflow today. And he comes upon us with the love of God. These nine gifts of the Holy Spirit are listed in 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to read it out of the Amplified in a minute. The purpose of these gifts is to build up and to strengthen others. This Christian life is not about you. Get over yourself, beautiful people. See what happens? I'm not normally like this naughty, except with Brendan. He's my husband, online watches. We can earnestly seek more of the gifts, especially prophecy. Now, we put the slide up. I don't know. I forgot to say put it up. But the nine gifts are categorized. And I'm like, that helps me understand categories, but I don't like it. I'd rather have spaghetti flowing through them because the Holy Spirit flows and one gift flows with another and then another gift. When I was healed of cancer in 1996, praise God, the gift of faith and the gift of healing came upon me at the same time. I was healed in the waiting room waiting for my treatment. It was supernatural. The gifts are supernatural. We live in the natural. We are natural beings, but we are a spirit. And it's our spirit that connects with the gifts of the Spirit. And the purpose of the gifts is for others. It's the Holy Spirit. It's all about Jesus. Okay, let me read. The gifts are not of this world. They come upon us for a purpose in a moment. They don't stay. I don't need the gift of miracles 24/7. But I do when I want to speak to a tornado in another country. I've got a gift from God when cyclones come, when tornadoes come, when weather. I have a thing with weather. I've got a thing with weather. I can speak to weather in some, I'm not saying 100% of the time, but clouds move, less destruction, and I believe it. And it works with the gift of faith, with the gift of miracles. So God's good. So look at this, in Acts 10:38, how God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with strength and ability and power. How he went about doing good and in particular curing all who were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil, for God was with him. That's Jesus of Nazareth walking on the earth in the power of the Holy Spirit, all God, all man. We are human with the Spirit of God living upon us. So therefore we can do the things that he empowers us to do. I don't want to step into somebody else's gifting and just because I see it, I think I can do it and try and manufacture that. I've done that in the past as a young preacher woman going, oh, Catherine Kuhlman, I read all her books, I watched all her, and there is a flow of anointing that can flow. Darlene Check, I actually look like her today with the when back in the thingos. I'm like, when I heard her sing, I'm like, ah, oh, I want that. But we don't covet other people's gifts. We say, Holy Spirit, use me. There are 9 gifts. What do I need to pull out of my Holy Spirit toolbox if you would graciously come upon me? And he will do that, because what he wills to be demonstrated in this day and age and every age with his power. Because in 1 John 4:17 in the Amplified, it says, because he is, so are we in this world. We're just like Jesus. 1 Corinthians 12:4. Okay. In the Amplified. Now, these are the distinctive varieties and distributions of endowments, gifts, extraordinary powers, distinguishing certain Christians due to the power of divine grace operating in their souls by the Holy Spirit, and they vary, but the Holy Spirit remains the same. And there are distinctive varieties of service and administration, but it is the same Lord who is served. We serve God with the gifts he gives us because we're serving other people. And there are distinctive varieties of operation of working of the, to accomplish the gifts are these, but it is the same God who inspires and energizes them all in all. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the evidence, the spiritual illumination of the Spirit for good and profit. To one given is given, and through the Holy Spirit, the power to speak a message of wisdom. We'll talk about that. And to another, the power to express a word of knowledge and understanding according to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. To another, wonder-working faith by the same Holy Spirit. To another, extraordinary powers of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophetic insight in the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose. To another, the ability to discern and distinguish between the utterances of true spirits and false ones. Boy, do we need that. To another, various kinds of unknown tongues. To another, the ability to interpret such tongues. All these gifts, achievements, abilities are inspired and brought to pass by one and the same Holy Spirit, who apportions to each person individually exactly as he chooses. For just as the body is a unity and yet has many parts, and all the parts, though many, form only one body, so it is with Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One. Every one of you is a carrier of the power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. If you believe in Jesus Christ, and as you grow in him, your faith will grow. Number one, let's look at the word of wisdom. What is the word of wisdom? It's a heavenly download that shows how to proceed with decisions and giving a solution, with clarity and often very simple. Whew, who needs the gift of wisdom? Put your hand up. Business owners, when you're employing someone, give me wisdom. When you're making a decision for your family, We need the gift of wisdom. James says, 1 James 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. So the gift of wisdom is beyond our natural brilliance, intelligence. It's like, I've got an idea. And it brings clarity and it brings simplicity and it sorts it out. So what do? We ask for wisdom. We're asking it for ourselves. We're asking it for our children, our grandchildren. God, give us wisdom. And then once you get a download, you act on it. You need to act on the things that God is showing you, even if it seems ridiculous. It will work out if it's God. The gift of wisdom shows you what God wants you to do, how he wants you to go about doing it, how to solve problems. Thank you, God. How grateful am I for the gift of wisdom? I mostly use it, like I said before, with my students. And some of the things they go, Chappie, how did you think of that? I'm like, it's not me. That was God. I'm not that smart. So the gift of wisdom, who wants it? Who wants to operate it? Who wants to stir it up today and forevermore? It's available. Okay, so let's go to, an example. Okay, oh my gosh, the story. Solomon, 1 Kings. We're not going to put it up. Solomon was the wisest man ever known until he had over 1,000 concubines that didn't believe in the one true God later on. I know. How unwise is that? If you want to Google concubine if you don't know what it is. Okay. So anyway, sorry, there's no children here, are there? Just babies. Okay, so, listen to me. I need to tell the story. Time is flying. So these two prostitutes, it's in the Bible, have two sons. They're living together. The two women are living together. They have two babies. They're boys. And overnight, one of the mothers rolls over on one of the children and it suffocates and dies. So she decides, I'm going to take my dead baby and exchange it for the living baby and she'll never know. So mum, whose baby didn't die, has got the dead baby. And she's like, that's not my baby. I know my baby and my baby, this is not my baby. And the other woman's like, this is my baby, the living baby. So they go to Solomon, King Solomon, to decide, sort this out. So what a strategy. So he says, okay, I've heard the case. And he said, soldiers, whoever they are, bring a sword and we'll cut the baby in half. What a strategy. The mother of the living baby says, no, don't do it. No, don't cut the baby. The other one says, yeah, cut it in half anyway. So who's the real mother? Yes, the mother. That's the real mother. You need to read it for yourself, okay? That was my paraphrase. So thank you. So ask God for wisdom. Obviously, you're not going to have that extreme a case, but amazing what God will do. Number two, the word of knowledge. I am flying through these. You need to do a study. Go to Mike Connell Ministries and get download all his stuff because who went to his workshop? Okay, so you know what I'm talking about, you guys. Okay, so word of knowledge. The spiritual gift of a word of knowledge is information given to you by the Holy Spirit about a person or a situation that it couldn't be known by natural means. So my example of this is another extreme. I'm a bit of an extreme person. Brendan and I were traveling in Burma, Myanmar, and we were ministering. It was a conference, and Myanmar is a military nation and Christians aren't supposed to be doing what we were doing. So we were going in taxis, hiding, and going to a venue that was secret and ministering to young people who had given their lives to Christ, but they wanted more Bible. So it was like a three-day seminar, Bible college crash course, and then you go out and plant a church in a village. There you go, pastoral course. You saved? 3 days? Out you go. So I'm praying on a prayer line for these beautiful young people. And I get to one beautiful young lady. She was about 18. And as I put my hands on her, the Holy Spirit said, "And she will be martyred for me." And I'm like, well, obviously, what are you going to do with that? I'm not going to tell her. Sorry for laughing. But, you know, that might be when she's 80. She was 80. I don't know the journey, but it was like, Holy Spirit, you, and I knew it was God. And so I just prayed courage over her, boldness over her, the blood of Jesus over her, the power of the Holy Spirit working through her. And weeping, I moved on. That's the only time something that extreme has come. And so when I think about that young lady, she might be in heaven by now, I don't know. That's a word of knowledge. But when you get something for someone else, He will give you a peace. He won't tell you everything about their life. What about the woman at the well with Jesus? That was a word of knowledge. She sat, she came to get water at the midday. She was a Samaritan, hated by the Jews. Jesus was sitting at the well. He set himself up to meet her so that the whole Samaritan village could meet him as the Messiah. So he's having this beautiful conversation, need to read it, in John 4. And she's talking to him and she says, Jesus says, "Go and get your husband and bring him and we can talk." And she said, "I have no husband." He's like, rightly saying, "You've had five husbands and the one you're living with now isn't your husband." Whoa. How did he know that he's God? But God will give you information. Did he want that woman to feel condemned? No. Jesus didn't come into this world to condemn the world. He came that it might be saved. He will never point the finger at you. He loves you. I've done things, I'm not telling you, because they're under the blood and I'm set free. Amen? And when we're in heaven, there'll be like everything will be displayed to be seen. So unconfessed sin will cause you not to go to heaven. And there is a place called hell that was set up for demons and the devil, never for people. But people go to hell every day because they don't know what you know, Christians. And we need to stand up and be counted for our faith. So the words of knowledge will be there to help people. And you need to say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying? And how do you want me to deliver that? Maybe he won't want you to deliver the information. Maybe he's just giving you the information so that you can go home and get on your knees and cry out for that person. Amen. It's not always to blurt and blah just because you've got information. We've got to cover people, care for people, love people, protect people. Prayer is our weapon. Thank you, Joelle. Word of knowledge and a word of wisdom working together. Walking through Singapore airport. A girl, crowd, not airport, mall. People everywhere, crowd. A young lady drops to the ground in front of me. I'm thinking, where are the people helping her? No one. People walking past. A young man is standing next to her. Brendan says, "Off you go." So here I am. No, I got down. As soon as I got down on my knees, the Holy Spirit said she's having a panic attack. That's her husband. They've had an argument. She thinks he's going to separate and divorce her. And she's freaking out. So I get down. I'm like, "It's going to be okay. You're going to be okay. I'm a Christian." And I'm like, "Sir, this, your wife is having a panic attack. and she's going to be fine, but she thinks that you're going to divorce her. And as I'm getting her up, he grabs her and I said, you need to go to Coffee Bean and have a coffee and sort it out. See what happens? Boldness. Not baldness like Brendan. Boldness. Discerning. So what do? Cry out for the gifts. That could have, I'm sure it saved their marriage. We're just the pizza box. We're the delivery people. We've got to be radically extreme in love with Jesus and crying out, God, I need the gifts. And the last one, which we should have been spending a whole service on, that's where you have to study and find out, is the discerning of spirits. Oh, my God. This is a supernatural gift of perception given sovereignly by God to enable individuals in the church to distinguish the motivation, the motivating spirit behind certain words or deeds. I was kids pastor here for 5 years back in the day, and we had somebody who wanted to come on the team, saying the right things, doing the right things, and inside me there was this something. And every time I asked this person not to touch the children or pick them up, it was a guy, just didn't listen. And I'm like, please, we don't have children sitting on our laps. We don't touch them that way. Week after, I'm like, all right, he's out. Anna obviously left the church, but could have saved a child's future. You know, I believe the best of every person, but when I get that scratchy, oh, something's not right, we need to get counsel, we need to speak to our leaders, we need to pray, but we need to alert our leaders and people, oversight for us. Like Jesus said, in 1 John 4, it says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits and see whether they are from God. So this is the purpose of the gifts is to literally discern. So the people who are on the prayer line praying for people, I pray that you're in God's face before you minister to people, because you can minister and bless somebody by a beautiful prayer, but you can also pull on the gift and in a moment have a word or a picture or discern something and get people set free. Like Kat did this morning. She perceived that there were spirits of anxiety in the room. And there were. But they're not now for those people, because the power of God's released. So we discern. It's a whole thing. The gift of discernment can help in identifying the sincerity of people, whether you can bring them in close in a trustworthy relationship. How amazing is God to give the church, we are the church, these gifts? So I can't explain anymore. We've got to live it. And I'm sure you've got story after story. And when you're in your connect group or when you're gathered out there having a coffee, you know, don't just talk about the weather. It's too much. Too many people at Gateway that need a word in season. Wherever you go, your neighbours, people need us. You say, well, they need Jesus, but you are the vessel. So just close your eyes for a moment. Father, I know that there are people here who don't know you as Lord and Savior.